Thank you for subscribing to HawkeyeDrive.com, your stop for Iowa football and men's basketball content. I'm Brendan Stiles. Pleased to be joined here again this Wednesday evening by Gary Dolphin, Iowa play-by-play man. Just got done hosting Hawk Talk with Kirk Ferentz. Gary, how are you this evening?
It's always better to be 1-0 than 0-1, Brendan. So, a little nervous about Saturday's game as usual. But and I know it's an overused term, but you can always throw the records out when Iowa and Iowa State play. I don't care who's ranked in the top 10 or who isn't ranked, period. But you look at the improvement that Paul Rhodes has made with that program from year one to year two, and this is a game that usually twists and turns on turnovers and special teams, and I look for more of the same Saturday, but it's in Kinnick, so I feel pretty good.
And those are a few things I was hoping to touch on with you here, but I'll start by just rehashing last week. What do you take away from Iowa's game against the 30-point win over Eastern Illinois?
This is just me talking, but I think they showed what they had to show to get it done. I think it was huge scoring on that first possession. That really gave, you never know coming out of the gate. You know, you've watched football long enough. When you're playing your first game, and for all the experience they have at Iowa this year, 26 seniors, we've beaten that to death, they did play six true freshmen and seven first-time starters. James Ferentz, McMillan, Marcus Zuzovics, and others. So I thought top to bottom it was a very good effort. It was a pretty clean game. I can't remember how many penalties, one, maybe two max. They didn't get as many turnovers as I think this defense will get going forward. I think Michael Meyer was among the newcomers, the star of the day. I mean, Eastern's average starting line was the 19. The Hawks' average starting line was the 35. And when you got a team with that kind of defense and you stretch the field, and we talked about this last week with this defense, if you're making them drive at 80-plus yards, then you got a chance to win every football game you're in. And so I think on balance, it was a good day. I mean, we only saw Ryan Donahue once, and I'd love to think we could only see him once this week, but I got a hunch Iowa State will make the Hawks punt a little bit more than that. But, I really think it was very workmanlike. I think they played it pretty close to the vest in terms of the playbook. The running game looked terrific. Adam Robinson continues to impress. Now they get some guys back this week that they didn't have last week, and it should be a better performance.
Now, I know usually when you hear Coach Ferentz talk about an upcoming opponent, say, oh, they're a very good team, sometimes people can just dismiss it as coach speak. And I know Iowa State, there have been struggles in recent years, but this year you could say that, and like you were saying, they seem to be a lot better than they were at this time a year ago.
Kirk brought up a good point, I thought, tonight on the show, in that when they played Iowa State last year, it was the second game for these kids under a new system. Paul Rhodes with his coordinators, with a brand new staff. Now they got better every week. They knocked off Nebraska in Lincoln, forced a bunch of turnovers, defeated Minnesota in the Inside.com Bowl, won seven games. You know, you got to go back to, I think, Clyde Williams in 1907 to find a rookie coach that won seven games at Iowa State. So that's really impressive. And I've said this publicly, Paul Rhodes has many Kirk Ferentz-type qualities about him. He's an Iowa guy. He's from Ankeny. He understands recruiting the state of Iowa. He brought in Bobby Elliott, so there's some Iowa flavor on that staff. No, absolutely. This is a good football team. They showed that against Northern Illinois. They didn't show everything either last Thursday night, and as Kirk said, they've had a two-day head start on preparation. But I think the equalizer is being in Kinnick Stadium with the Hawkeyes crowd, another raucous 70,000-plus sellout. Looks like the weather's going to hold, and it should be a wonderful atmosphere. So, yeah, I like Iowa's chances, but, they got to show up and play, no question.
And just to add to that, I just looked this up a little bit just a short while ago before you showed up, and I saw that this is only the second time that Iowa and Iowa State are meeting each other, coming off seasons where both of them won bowl games, the other time being 2005, both of them won bowl games in 04. Iowa had the Capital One Bowl, Iowa State won the Independence Bowl.
I think that's a great point, and what does that say? Brendan, I think what it says is both teams kind of shocked the football world here in the Midwest last year. We thought Iowa could have a good team. there's not a body in America thought they'd go 9-0 or win 11 games and win a BCS bowl. As I think I mentioned last week or in previous discussions with you, this is kind of the year Iowa's been pointing to because they knew they'd have 26 seniors this year. Anything beyond last year is a bonus. Flip the coin. Iowa State, what did I hear last year? There were people thought they wouldn't win a game, maybe one or two games. Everybody was down after Gene Chizik left. In comes Paul Rhodes, who's been at successful programs, Auburn, Pittsburgh, and beyond, and was at Iowa State. He knew what he could do there. Maybe it came a little quick for him as well. Nobody picked Iowa State to win seven games and go to a New Year's Eve bowl game in Phoenix, let alone win that bowl game. So what you have are two teams that have got some momentum coming off last year. And therefore, I think you'll see two really fired up, spirited teams hit the field on Saturday. Now, that's why I always feel in a rivalry game like this, the first 8 to 10 minutes are critical. You know, get settled down, get a couple possessions, maybe drive the ball. Don't necessarily have to score, but feel good about your offense and then turn over the Iowa defense.
Got two more questions for you here. Being from Iowa and having the history at the state that you have, what would you say this rivalry means to you, and how would you feel if it suddenly didn't become an annual game? And I bring that up because obviously there had been talks with Big Ten expansion that possibly Iowa goes to a nine-game schedule in conference play, and then Iowa State might possibly go to a nine-game schedule with whatever's left of the Big 12.
Thankfully, we don't have to worry about that till 2015 when the schedules play out. But I would be very upset, frankly, if this game didn't go beyond 2015. And here's why. There are 110 kids from the state of Iowa on both these rosters. I've always said one of the unique things about this rivalry versus, you know, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Kansas, Kansas State, others, is that you have two schools from BCS power conferences in the Big 12 and the Big 10. Now, you have that now with Georgia, Georgia Tech, because Tech went to the ACC. But for years, typically, if you have two in-state schools, they're from the same league. And I always found that unique about Iowa, and that we had two of the great conferences in America, the Big 12 and the Big 8, or the Big 12 and the Big 10, represented within Iowa's borders. Nowhere else in the Big 10 and the Big 12 can you find that. I thought that was a caveat. That was a unique nugget. But primarily, is this game represents what the state of Iowa is all about. Blue collar, lunch pail, redneck, tough nosed football players. Yeah, they get skilled players from Texas and Florida and Ohio, but 110 kids on the rosters of both these teams, and they both want to win so bad they can taste it and smell it. The state kind of grinds to a halt. That's what I love about this game. It's kind of a football holiday in the state of Iowa, and hopefully it'll continue.
And I'll get you out of here on this. At the very end of the show that you did with Coach Ferris just now, you brought up something that I actually have been thinking about for a while here, with considering how the last couple years this rivalry has unfolded with turnovers, especially with the play of the two quarterbacks, Stanzi and Arnott, and then special teams, because you saw a year ago you had Bruce Davis recover the onside kick when Iowa State went ahead. 2 years ago, you had Andy Brodell return the punt for a touchdown. And then the last time Iowa State won, it was because of 5 field goals.
Field goals by Grant. By Grant for Iowa State, including one with, 10 seconds to go. You know, this will be my, I'm proud to say I was on the first game broadcast back in 1977. I was part of the TV broadcast, and I'll never forget Dwayne Crutchfield running through the Iowa offense that day over in Ames when in Iowa City. Iowa won the first game. Then we went to Ames, and Crutchfield, a couple years later, Crutchfield had a great game for the Cyclones. There have been so many twists and turns and names and wonderful moments in history in this series, and it seems like every year, this will be our 14th Cyclone game with Ed Podolak and I, special teams have always loomed large. Whether it's the kicking game or a field goal here, whether it's a turnover, I can still see Grant Steen picking that pass off. When the original 9-11 game got moved to the end of the season, right after Thanksgiving, and Steen was racing for the end zone, and Iowa State came in, punched the ball out from behind, jumped on it, went down and scored. Sage Rosenfels had a phenomenal game that day, and the next year Steen redeemed himself, if that's the word, with two interceptions, and Iowa won. It's just been a lot of twists and turns. Turnovers and special teams have been the one common ingredient. Brennan, and I look for both of them to be big again on Saturday.
This is Gary Dolphin, Iowa play-by-play man. You can listen to him and Ed Podolak call the game for the Hawkeye Radio Network this Saturday. Kickoff is at 2:30 from Kinnick Stadium. Gary, thank you very much for your time. We'll see you again next week.
We'll look forward to it, Brendan. Thank you.